like that.
Get fast, accurate weather information.
Your storm warning will remain
on air and online.
I always know it's going to be there.
News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR and online at KBUR.com.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? When you were 8 and you had bad treats, your gold was stolen and the golden rule. So why are you acting like a bloody fool? If you get hot, then you must get cool. Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
And good morning, it is a Peace Officer Show. We've got with us on the phone the Sergeant Kevin Glenn Denning of the Des Moines County Sheriff's Office. He's joining me. Kevin, good morning to you today.
Good morning, Steve.
And Kevin is on the phone with us. And by the way, our phone lines are open. We're hoping to have Dennis Kramer show up, but I think he might be, maybe he's on vacation or whatever, but I've been unable to get a hold of him. But we also have, across the console from me, Jason Marlowe of the Iowa State Patrol. What, 20 years with the patrol? Is that right,
Yeah,
Jason?
A little bit over 20. I started in 1996, so
okay.
I guess we're looking at
24. Oh, 20, almost 25.
Yeah, working on 25. Time goes fast.
I was telling Jason, I've seen many, many times on RAGBRAI, do you realize that this Memorial Day, this will be the first Memorial Day weekend that I have not announced bicycle races. The last one that I didn't, 1979. The last time I did not ride every day on RAGBRAI, 1979.
Yeah, I think we can agree that
2020. And we're going back, that's going back to the disco era, you know?
Yeah, the Bee Gees and everything else.
By the way, we also have Colin Letty across the council. Good morning, Colin.
Good morning, Steve.
All right, anyway, we're going to talk law enforcement. We're going to talk about the issues that are out there. And I guess let's go to Kevin Glendenning. Kevin, you know, as time has marched on, you were with us last month, and we talked about crime and whether crime was down, and we talked about how different things are or how much the same things are. I guess the question for you is, one, how much is the same and how much is different over this past month for you?
Well, within our office, it seems like we may have reached a new normal, or at least a temporary normal. We have some of our clerical staff working from home and creating those distances as needed to try to keep everybody healthy. We have noticed probably the an uptick, or I guess moving back to normal, of our call load. I'd say when the pandemic first started, we noticed that there is a definite decrease. The traffic loads were decreased, and here recently, I think we've seen that the call load is definitely come back up.
Okay, so in other words, call load. In other words, incidents, crime. What sort of crime goes on? I mean, is it the same crime that would happen? Is crime immune to the coronavirus?
No, it certainly isn't. And some of the increases I think we've seen. The family disputes, that kind of thing. And I think everybody can agree, you know, when you're, don't have a relief from getting out of the house as we have in the past, the gyms and recreational areas not being open, it's been difficult on everybody and trying to, keep everybody healthy and happy. So we've had some of those disputes that we've had to respond to, but nothing major, just, probably a slight uptick in those areas.
Is there anything different in the way, I mean, I guess in terms of, I know the fire department is basically, they have the ambulance service, and I know that transporting people, transporting patients, the potential of COVID-19 is always in that possibility. But in terms of anything or any protective things that you are doing or the department is doing, I'm going to guess you're not driving. You don't have a do you have a mask that you wear when you are at a scene? I'm guessing you put gloves on and a mask. Is that right?
Yes, we do, and we do have plenty of PPE on hand. We do provide those. What we do is we have a questionnaire that we go through. So when we're dispatched for a call for service, our dispatch center, they'll go through some questions, and they're aware of founded cases within the county. And if there is an issue with that, then they'll let us know. They'll also ask questions about any health risks or go through the questionnaire to see if we need to be aware of putting on additional PPE so that we're keeping our deputies and officers safe.
Okay.
So they'll go through that, and then when our deputies respond, they'll also ask those questions. And even on traffic stops, if there's something beyond the stop, then they'll ask some questions if they're going to have to transport somebody or do anything like that.
Okay, so you kind of reached, and you said it, the new normal is how you would describe it. Is that right?
At least for now it is, and for the foreseeable future, I think we'll be operating this way. Hopefully it can move back to the way it was, but time will tell.
I guess time will tell. Jason Marlowe, we're talking about traffic stops. How have traffic stops changed in the COVID-19, I guess, era, so to speak?
Well, certainly I would echo what Kevin said with, the original decrease in large volumes of traffic, and it was considerably noticeable. Even, when I was out on patrol, you would see far less cars. But I think I also seen that uptick. And I'm not saying we're back to normal, and we're certainly still encouraging people to stay home and to work from home if at all possible. But there has been an increase in the amount of vehicles here in the last, week or so that are out on our roadway. And I think we mentioned this a little bit last month, but it continues to be a problem. And the biggest issue that we're seeing from a state patrol standpoint across the state, with some of that less volume traffic in areas on our roadways, it's encouraged a percentage of our drivers to drive even faster. And when I talk faster, I'm talking about over 100 miles per hour. We've issued more citations across the state for 100 plus miles per hour than maybe in the history of the Iowa State Patrol, which is we're in our 85th year this year, having an anniversary. And I've got some numbers here, and I want to share them with you. Last month in April, there were 142 citations issued for speeding at 100 plus miles per hour. That's just by the Iowa State Patrol.
How do you stop? What do you do? How do you stop or give a ticket to somebody going 100-plus miles an hour?
There are ways to get that person stopped, and we are equipped with vehicles that are also capable of driving 100-plus miles per hour, but you have to weigh the situation, the risk of where it's at, whether it's an edge of a town, maybe it's on a rural interstate in the middle of nowhere, that changes things significantly. But if you were to compare that to the two previous years, we've nearly doubled that in 1 month. We saw those all the way back in January as well, and that's kind of where we started to talk a little bit about that. So we're encouraging people to obey the posted speed limit at all times. But these are violations of the law that are just blatant in nature when you're driving that fast.
What is the fine for going 100 plus miles an hour?
You're looking at several hundred dollars. So the fine amounts are broken down in a scheduled fine. There's a surcharge of a certain percentage, as well as the court costs. So for 100 plus miles per hour, you'd probably be looking somewhere in between $200 to $300. And the faster over that, they add on, even more. So that's one of the fine amounts that changes in our law. And I've talked about that before. If you roll a stop sign or if you dust the stop sign at 40 miles per hour, the fine amount is the same for a stop sign violation. For speeding, it changes. The faster you are over the posted speed limit, the higher the fine amount, or sometimes the lower the speed limit. So for instance, 10 miles an hour over on a 55 zone is going to be much different than 10 miles an hour over in a school zone where the school zone is 20 miles per hour. So those two are the changes that you may see. But I know there was a citation issued last month by a member of the State Patrol at 147 miles per hour. And we've seen multiple violations in the 120s. And again, our district had an individual trooper that issued two of them in his shift on one day, two 100 plus mile per hour citations. And recently, I think in the western side of the state, there was one driver that was issued two citations for 100 plus miles per hour on the same day.
All right.
So those are violations that we need to get under control.
Wow. Kevin Glendenning, okay, rural areas of the county, there's some interstates, one at interstate, there's four lane. Are you noticing an increase in speeding countywide? Is that something that is a factor here as well?
Yes, we noticed the same thing. It seemed there for a while that when there was less vehicles, that the vehicles that were out there were driving faster, almost like it was the way was cleared for them. So we just the other night, one of our deputies had a vehicle at 109 miles per hour, and that vehicle stopped, and they were charged. We have noticed that increase in the higher speed limits.
All right, let's find out why. What any explanation why this is going on?
I think maybe a couple things. One is Kevin and I both mentioned less traffic gives more opportunities for vehicles to travel at those speeds. If you were to go back in time and maybe take a stretch of roadway. I always use the example of Interstate 380 between Iowa City and Cedar Rapids. If you've ever driven on that road, you'll know that there is a lot of traffic on that road, regardless of the time of day and sometimes even the night. And opportunities to exceed the posted speed limit there would be much more difficult because once you get it up to that speed, you're going to see cars that are in both lanes. There's no way to pass, which is going to slow that driver down. But in areas, you know, though, where you don't see that amount of traffic, you've got opportunities. I think the second one may be the misconception that law enforcement is not out continuing to enforce certain laws. They're busy with other things. They don't want to stop people because of the need to maintain social distancing and things of that sort. And we have maybe curtailed our focus a little bit towards the more serious end of traffic violations, but clearly these are violations that certainly warrant, you know, the need to be stopped and to issue citations.
All right, let's. One of the things that I wanted to ask both of you about is that the state of Illinois has recreational cannabis, and there is, and believe it or not, recreational cannabis sales have increased dramatically. In Illinois, because of the connected to the coronavirus pandemic. What about over here in Iowa? Are you seeing more people bringing cannabis into the state, or I guess what stops where you have cannabis?
I wouldn't, from our standpoint, I wouldn't necessarily say we've seen a huge increase in the volume of any type of marijuana arrests. Or controlled substances, specifically as it relates to someone purchasing it out of state and bringing it in. There's documentation that needs to accompany some of those purchases, but I do want to make it clear that our law here in Iowa on this side of the river is still the same. We do not have a law that allows recreational use of marijuana or cannabis. We do have some medical laws that are
but
on the books.
There needs to be a medical card that goes along with that, right?
That's correct. Those individuals that are in possession of that product for medical reasons certainly understand and know what they need if they're stopped for, let's say, a relatively minor violation of the traffic law. They have the accompanying documents. They've purchased that product at a controlled site here in Iowa, and they're well-versed in what needs to be done. It's my experience that anybody that has that will willingly show you that right off the bat. Hey, listen, this is what I have. This is the stuff that's in the car. And once you get through that, very few issues from that standpoint.
All right. What about other drugs? Kevin Glendening, obviously, I would seem that I know that alcohol sales are up dramatically in the state of Iowa and also in Illinois. Actually, they're up nationwide. In fact, home-delivered alcohol sales are up 1,000%, believe it or not. What about drugs and drugs, alcohol, or any other DUIs or any of the other things that would go along with that? Have you seen an increase of that in the county?
No, we haven't. In fact, we've seen a decrease. And while I was unaware of that the statistic on the alcohol sales or the home alcohol sales, and I think that would go to that, people aren't going out and consuming alcohol. They're not out at the bars or other areas. They're staying home, which is a safer way to do that. But we have not had an increase in OWIs or other areas or driving impaired, whether it be under alcohol or a controlled substance.
Okay.
Just because I think people are staying home and we haven't seen that traffic on the roadways.
Okay. One of the things that I have noticed is, and I had John Billups in. John is general manager at Bluff Harbor along with being the mayor and along with being the Notre Dame development director. So he's got three different hats he wears. And it seems that, you know, people are finding any way to get out. I know I was talking to Jason about the fact, am I riding bikes more? I'm riding the bikes about the same, but, boy, are there a lot of people riding bikes that I haven't seen before and an awful lot of people walking and running. And, in fact, there seems to be more, as much, if any, more pedestrian traffic and running traffic and bicycle traffic that I've ever seen. I don't know if that's a... But it's people are wanting to get out, and I'm wondering about the river. There's got to be a lot of people out of the river, I'm going to guess, just on a nice day. Do you guys have a boat that you use? I mean, do you guys actually go out on the river on weekends and sort of patrol, Kevin? Is that right?
Yeah, so especially on holiday weekends, Memorial Day, 4th of July, the busier weekends, we will be out there and like Steamboat Days, we'd be out on the river just for response to emergencies, make sure everybody's being safe. Other than that, there will be busier days that if we have enough personnel available, we'll put the boat out and put them out and just go check and make sure everybody's doing okay and being safe.
Okay.
Otherwise, we do have a boat that we can respond to emergencies with.
All right. Well, we're going to talk more about law enforcement. We're going to take a break for our news. Kevin Glendening from the Des Moines County Sheriff's Office. And it is Sergeant Kevin, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I thought so anyway. But and it is Trooper Jason Marlowe of the Iowa State Patrol, and I'm not sure exactly, Public Relations Director or Coordinator or this division, I'm not sure, Fairfield Division or Mount Pleasant. What's your headquarters?
Sounds great. Mount Pleasant, District
Mount Pleasant.
13.
All right. Regardless, we'll talk more, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
If you're looking for complete coverage of local, state, regional, and national high school, college, and professional sports, tune in to Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360 to Dave O'Hara Sports every Monday through Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. If you want to listen to archived episodes or interviews of specific players, coaches, reporters, and broadcasters, or have comments or questions for the show, go to twitter.com/DaveO'HaraSports or facebook.com/DaveO'HaraSports.
Sherwood Company. The weather is warming and soon you'll be able to enjoy your home's outdoor living spaces. An awning from the Sherwood Company can help you enjoy those areas even more. Outdoor awnings expand the living area of your home, giving you more entertaining space that is protected from rain and the blazing sun. Ideal for decks and patios, they are easy to operate and retract or extend in minutes, allowing sun when you want it and shade when you need it. Sherwood Company builds awnings that are both fashionable and functional. Offered in over 1,000 different combinations of colors and styles, outdoor awnings provide indoor benefits too. They protect your furniture, drapes, and carpeting from fading due to the infrared rays of the sun. Awnings from the Sherwood Company are custom designed for your space and come with a 10-year warranty. Call the Sherwood Company for more information today.
First impressions last. Time to call Sherwood Company.
Welcome back to Sports View. Today's topic... Who's the greatest of all time? For my money, it's Progressive's home and auto bundle. It literally saves you money. Gentlemen, your thoughts?
Look, it's simple.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. And all the heroes take away the zeros, and what you got? One big trophy of me saying, I told you so.
I disagree.
Thanks, fellas. Took the words right out of my mouth.
There's really no debate. Progressive's home and auto bundle is a winning combination. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
This... is the sound of Jeff's first ever low and slow Applewood smoked pork shoulder. And this...
Yes, yes, yes! Yes!
...is the sound he made when it fell right off the bone. Are you okay there, Jeff?
Oh, it's beautiful!
Backyard grilling leaves the best marks. Kingsford. For recipes and inspiration, visit kingsford.com.
Your friends at the Salvation Army want you to know that although times are hard right now, you're not alone. They're here for you, to help you with whatever they can, whenever they can. Whether it's their pantry assistance, online church services, free-to-go lunches Monday through Friday, or their Tuesday produce, you can rely on their helping hand in this worrying world. Call 319-753-2038 to make an appointment today. Open Tuesday and Thursday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. and from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
News brought to you by Kelly O'Shea's Pub and Grill, featuring a full menu including seafood, steaks, chops, pub sandwiches, whole catfish, and appetizers, as well as nightly specials. Come play at Kelly O'Shea's.
And now a look at today's headlines in the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty. A Chicago man has been arrested in Burlington for violation of the sex offender registry. 26-year-old Ray Stevenson Jr. of Chicago was apprehended by Burlington police at 835 Valley Street in Burlington Wednesday night and charged with the registry violation. He is being held at Des Moines County Jail without bond. The Jefferson Street Farmers Market will be making its return to Burlington Thursday afternoon. However, this market will be held from 4:30 to 6 p.m. in the parking lot of Bible Harmony Church. This market will have tighter restrictions and be slightly smaller than usual due to restrictions from the Iowa Department of Public Health. Farmers markets were among limited businesses and events that were allowed to resume statewide after a proclamation from the governor last week. Investigators in Iowa have arrested a former long-haul trucker suspected of killing two women in Wyoming and a third in Tennessee in the early 90s. Police arrested 58-year-old Clark Perry Baldwin on Wednesday at his home in Waterloo on warrants from Tennessee and Wyoming, charging him in the three killings. He's being held in the Blackhawk County Jail pending extradition proceedings. The Wyoming Division of Criminal Investigation says in a news release that, quote, advances in technology linked Baldwin to the crimes. He's charged in the 1992 killings of two unidentified women in Wyoming and the 1991 slaying in Tennessee of a pregnant woman, Pamela McCall, and her unborn child. Residents of Illinois hoping to go to a state fair this year may be out of luck. TV station KHQA reports that Governor Pritzker in his daily briefing said that the state fairs going on as planned was unlikely.
I think it's highly unlikely that we'll be able to hold our state fairs. I do not believe that we'll be able to open the state fair.
The Department of Agriculture released a statement following the governor's address, stating that while a decision had not yet been made on the status of the state fairs, they will continue evaluation and keep citizens updated on new developments. And those are today's headlines in the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. There have now been more than 33 million layoffs since the coronavirus shutdowns and slowdowns started in March. Fox's Jenny Casola.
There were 3.1 million new claims for unemployment benefits last week. The dramatic number of layoffs caused by the coronavirus pandemic is expected to cause the April unemployment rate to jump to a record.
That report from the Labor Department comes out tomorrow morning. At least 11 people are killed by a gas leak in India, which is now reported to have been stopped with the air clear.
People struggling to breathe and collapsing in the street after a gas leak at a polystyrene plastic factory near the southern Indian city of Visakhapatnam. The plant is owned by a South Korean company, LG Chem, which says workers were preparing to restart the facility after a coronavirus lockdown when the leak happened.
Fox's Simon Owen. America's listening to Fox News.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Mostly sunny with increasing clouds, though, at a high today 67 degrees. Cloudy showers are 80% likely after midnight tonight, a low down to 44. We'll have west winds at 5 to 10, becoming north after midnight. And very breezy on Friday with mostly sunny skies. 30% chance of early morning showers, otherwise a high of 53, but north winds 15 to 20, gusting to 30 miles an hour. And clear Friday night with frost likely overnight, low to 32 right now. Skies continue to be sunny. It's 54.
It is a stressful world out there right now, especially when it comes to figuring out what to eat. That's why Kelly O'Shea's is here to give you the comfort you deserve. Right now, you can order carryout of your favorite piping hot pub food Thursdays and Fridays to keep you warm and happy during your days in. Check out their menu on Kelly O'Shea's Pub's Facebook page to see what's to offer. Not your average pub, not the average way. Come play at Kelly O'Shea's.
This is the Sean Hannity Show.
I'm going to make a prediction here. We're going to look back at this as game-changing for New York City and New York State. It has already been leading the nation in terms of people getting the hell out of here. Why? Some of the highest taxes in the country, the most burdensome regulation. They have some of the highest property taxes in the country, and they've been losing population, and they're going to lose more.
Sean Hannity, afternoons from 2 to 5 on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
I'm Jessica Ettinger, CNBC.
Stocks are higher at the open on Wall Street, even though a horrifically high number of Americans filed for unemployment benefits last week.
Yes, initial jobless claims coming in at 3,169,000. So darn close to expectations. Most were looking right in the zip code of 3 million.
CNBC's Rick Santelli, 7 weeks and about 33 million Americans out of work. But investors are hopeful as the economy begins to reopen. Kohl's says it'll start to reopen stores on a phased-in basis. This as another warehouse worker at Amazon has died of COVID-19, a 50-year-old man in northeast Illinois with five kids. Shares of drug maker Moderna are higher. The FDA has approved a possible COVID-19 vaccine for a phase two trial. And the IRS sent stimulus checks to dead people. And now it says it wants the money back. Jessica?
Have you wanted to speak a new language, but you thought it'd be too hard or take too much time? Then go to Babbel.com, download the app, and try it for free. In just 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. And right now, you can try Babbel for free. Babbel starts out teaching you words and phrases by matching them with pictures. You won't believe how easy the interactive program is. Soon the sentences get a little bigger, and before you know it, you're having simulated conversations voiced by native speakers. And because Babbel is crafted by language experts and uses the spaced repetition method, in just 10 to 15 minutes a day, you'll be speaking the language of your choice with real confidence. With Babbel, you can speak a language. Just go to Babbel.com and start your first lesson in the language of your choice for free. Download the Babbel app or go to Babbel.com and try it for free. That's Babbel.com.
Everything you need to know and more on AM and FM. All your favorite programs and personalities with a cleaner, clearer signal and a larger nighttime coverage area. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys.
And it is a Peace Officer show. We've got Kevin Glendenning from the Des Moines County Sheriff's Office. Sergeant Kevin Glendenning. Kevin, good morning, and I guess welcome back again, okay?
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. Just wanted to make sure you were still hadn't fallen asleep during the break there. We also have Jason Marlowe, a public information officer with the Iowa State Patrol headquartered out of Mount Pleasant. I go by his house quite often on my bike, but again, I think you're talking about farm implements that are out on, especially on some of these highways that are being under construction. We've got the bridge being constructed. You were telling me that you've had some incidents and some problems on that. Is that right, Jason?
Yeah, let's talk about the 34 bridge. As you can look out the window here from the studio and see the project is well underway, and most of your listeners are familiar with that, whether they've been crossing and going into Illinois or the Illinois listeners that are coming into Iowa. With some of those lane restrictions, it's created some issues, and I know there's been a couple of incidents where farmers that have been traveling back and forth, they farm on both sides of the river, have had to make some adjustments to the cones to get their equipment across, and we needed to come up with a better game plan than adjusting some of the things that were put in place by the construction crews. So going forward, if you're needing to make arrangements, primarily we're talking about farmers here, we'll have no issues with regular-sized cars and pickup trucks and things of that sort. Anything that's oversized and being escorted by the DOT already knows some of those lane restrictions across the state. But if you're a farmer, we're going to ask that you make a phone call, whether it's to the local law enforcement, the state patrol office, the DOT project manager. Every construction project that occurs in Iowa has a project manager. They're overseeing everything that's happening in that area. The thing that I found a little bit interesting here from the email that I received was the fact that this project is anticipated, and you know, the mayor may be able to talk about this even more than I do, but all the way through the end of October. So this isn't something that's going to end here in the next couple of weeks. It's a major project on the bridge, and if you've observed that, you can see they've got a lot of stuff tore up there. So it's going to take a little bit of time to get it put back to normal.
Well, they usually say, I think in Minnesota is where the phrase came out, we only have two seasons, winter and road construction.
There is, yeah.
And it seems to be that seems to be the case. I don't know why it is up around Newton, but High 80 seems... Are they rebuilding that all the time? Is it always under construction, or is it just my imagination?
Well, I think one of the areas, again, that I've traveled here in the last, I guess not in the last couple months, but prior to that, would have been that Iowa City-Coralville area and the interchange at Interstate 80, 380, and then the
right.
end of 218, for those of us that come from the south. I believe the interstate system in Iowa was opened in 1965 or 66. I think 66. We had a big class of troopers that went through in 65 that were receiving some federal funding with the, you know, proposed increase in the amount of traffic that that roadway was going to carry in Iowa. My guess is those engineers that put that project together for the off-ramps could have never envisioned the amount of traffic that the year 2020 was going to be. So instead of the tight cloverleaf type exits and on-ramps there, we're going to have to expand them and get traffic away. The Des Moines metro area went under this construction several years ago, what's referred to as the east and the west mix. And they've redesigned that area, and it is much better for traffic flow based on the fact that we've created more lanes, we've created, you know, less interchanges for the on and off ramp using the same set of lanes to make your maneuver there, because
they do
it's
that,
not safe.
They do that a lot. Illinois seems to do that an awful lot. I'm noticing that in Iowa it seems to be less and less happening in the way that that roads are built. But to have a the exit ramp and the on ramp happening at the same place, it never made sense to me, and I'm not sure why or who was the engineer that came up with that.
Yeah, well, and I'm sure there's a financial component back then, similar to what there would be a financial component to some of the things now. But, you know, this the general amount of vehicles that are on the roadway, I think we know, is far greater than it was even a handful of years ago.
One of the things is, and again, is we see this happening a lot, or it happens more than it should. I know in Illinois, the if I'm right, Jason, that it is illegal. In fact, the left lane is for passing only. It is for passing only, and you may not. And Colin, you're there. You can't linger in the left lane.
From what I understand, as a former native of Illinois, now the law is the left lane is for faster moving traffic, and idling in the left lane can get you stopped.
And you may not use a handheld cell phone.
You can't even touch your phone in your car.
You can't touch your phone in the car. If you have
hands-free devices are fine, from what I understand.
If you have a hands-free device, you can do that. Iowa, what is the rule in Iowa? You can still use your cell phone, right? Is that right?
Yeah, so two parts to that. The first would be the left lane. We do not restrict the amount of time that you're in the left-hand lane on a roadway in Iowa, although we strongly recommend kind of mirroring that same law in Illinois, using it to pass, using it for faster traffic, because what we found is that if somebody is out there, let's say, even driving the speed limit or less than the speed limit, then the patience level of those that want to make that maneuver around starts to decrease, and we have incidents of that nature. So if you're in the left-hand lane, we would encourage you to use it for, you know, faster travel as well as overtaking, but it's not a lawful concept in our state yet. The second would be the use of the phone. One of the things that got some traction early in the legislative session before they suspended their operation was a potential change to something similar to, again, using Illinois as an example, hands-free. We still allow those over the age of 18 in Iowa to talk on their phone. Most of the young adults under 18 are restricted from that because of their classification of license, the graduated driver's license system. But I'll be honest with you, as a father of three teenagers, my kids don't pick their phone up and talk on it
is a problem, and that's what I was going to get at. Kevin, have you seen an increase in texting while driving offenses in the county and overall in that category, or anywhere in terms of people using cell phones and texting and driving? I guess how big of a problem is it in your world in the Des Moines County area?
I believe texting while driving and just use of your phone in general, whether it's we'll see people that'll they'll be on social media, they'll be watching videos even while they're driving, and The focus just really needs to be on the roadway. I'm certainly would support just using the hands-free option, which most vehicles have now. I understand that there might need to be a call made or to speak, but use those hands-free options. The focus being on the phone, I think, is shown to have an increase in accidents. It used to always be, you know, the major causes of accidents were speed and OWIs. And now I think right up there with that is the distracted driving, and that's because of the use of the phones while you're driving.
Technology has changed as well. I know my wife, I bought a new car for her, and she's got Bluetooth, and she's got the same setup as you would have for if you were a Lyft or an Uber driver. And she doesn't have to. She just says, ask Siri. If she wants to send a message, she says, Siri, I'm going to send a message to my husband, or I'm going to send a message to my daughter. And Siri takes care of it, and there's no, not only she just reads the message, and then Siri reads it back, and that's then send it, and away it goes. So it's all done without any touching of anything. So I guess that's a. It is said. Here's the other question: it's back. The very fact of doing. Even whether it's hands-free or whether it's not hands-free, it's still distracting you from thinking about or driving or something that might be coming in. You're taking your mind away, at least, from driving, right?
You bet. And that's the cognitive aspect of distracted driving. You know, you've got the physical nature, which is holding the phone, the visual side, which is maybe looking at that video, you know, checking that Facebook post or whatever it may be from the social media that Kevin mentioned. But really, maybe the biggest concern is the cognitive and the need to focus on the task at hand. And we all take that for granted because most of us log several miles a day. You know, we're experienced drivers in all types of weather conditions, and we're just kind of used to that. But we're still making critical decisions every single time we drive, and that's really the danger from that side. So focusing on driving is a great benefit to everyone.
All right. I believe we've got a caller on line one. Good morning. Who do we have with us today?
Joe.
Yes, go ahead, Joe.
So I got a question. any more, I'm seeing more and more cars and trucks and stuff on the road with a really dark window tint. And I was just wondering, I mean, the tints are dark. You can't, if they park beside next to you at a stop sign or something, you can't see who's even in the vehicle, you know. I'm just wondering, I mean, it used to be years ago that there was a law how dark windows could be tinted, you know, but it's kind of bad because if you're at an intersection and you can't see people in there, you know, sometimes you wonder which way they're gonna turn and things like that. But I just wonder if the law still presents itself as, you know, having a law as far as the darkness and stuff, but. And I would think for law enforcement, it would be, you wouldn't, and I'm sure, you know, everybody would agree, you don't want that dark window tint because you can't see who's in those vehicles.
Joe, hold on a second. Let me ask this. I'm going to ask you both Kevin and Jason here. My understanding, at least in the past, has been that no aftermarket window tinting is allowed for side windows. And actually, I think, I'm not even sure, rear windows, I believe, are okay, but side windows are not okay. Is that right?
That's correct. So our window tint law in Iowa directly affects the windows to the left, right, and front of the driver's seat. And that number and standard is still 70%. Most vehicles are still manufactured with a little bit of tint on them when they come out of factory. So for the most part, anything that you add to that is going to restrict the light from one side to the other, making it darker. So 70% is a number that's established. For instance, the comparison would be a limousine. We're most familiar with limousines with darked and blacked out windows. That number on a tint meter would probably be in the range from 0 to 5%, extremely dark. So 70%, you can see, is still fairly light. The back windows or anything behind the driver's seat in Iowa, you can make them as dark as you want. There is no law on window tint. So that's really one of the offsets to what Joe mentioned there is, from a law enforcement side, people say, well, you have window tint laws because cops don't like walking up on cars that they can't see in. Our window tint law really is designed for drivers to be able to see, again, as Joe mentioned, from intersections, from stop signs. why would we want to create a dark situation in the middle of the daytime, limiting that visibility? So that's the Iowa law.
I'll tell you that as from a cycling, when I'm out on the bike and I'm coming up to an intersection, I want to be able to see that that person is looking at me. And I've learned that at a four-way stop, if you're on a bicycle, what you have to do, and this is my own experience, you have to know that each person that might be at that intersection, you've got to be able to look each one in the eye. You've got to be able to know where you are in the rotation. You have to point to the person who's next and literally do direct traffic. Tell them to go ahead because they tend to be uncertain what to do with a bicycle, and I understand that. So directing traffic, it seems to be what I'm doing as much at a four-way stop if it's busy. Fortunately, it's not been very busy lately.
Right. And Joe, I want to point out that all of the troopers in District 13 are equipped with a tint meter. We can measure window tint on people's vehicles, and we have some troopers that are very aggressive in their enforcement of that particular law.
Kevin Glendenning. Mm-hmm. Kevin Glendenning. By the way, thank you, Joe. All right.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Kevin Glendenning is there. Kevin, what if somebody comes in from Florida or Arizona? Because I know they've got a different law. Does the Iowa law supersede the Florida law? Or because you know that they've got a window tint that's going to be considerably darker than you're going to have in Iowa. Do they still have to follow Iowa law? Do you know?
So there are a few exemptions, and there's medical exemptions, and for out-of-state vehicles, if they're not required to register in the state of Iowa, I believe that they are under that exemption as well. Jason might be able to clarify on that, but they still are, as long as they're legally registered in another state, then they are exempted if they're within their own state law.
All right. And is that true?
Is correct. It'd be similar to a vehicle that is registered in Indiana that's not required to post a front license plate. Even though we are here in Iowa, that vehicle is registered in Indiana. Therefore, their home state would take place.
Let's go to the phones right now. Good morning. Who do we have with us today?
You have Mark.
Mark, what's on your mind?
Implements of husbandry when you're going down the highway on a two-lane highway and the farmer's out there. Is there a width that they have to stay within, or are they allowed to go as wide as they need to be? And I'll sit back and I'll listen.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. And we'll just let you... sit back and listen, and
I'll take the first shot at that one, then
take
we
can
give
shot.
It to Kevin. Clearly, every vehicle on our roadway is required to yield half of that roadway upon meeting another vehicle. On Highway 61 north of Burlington, that's pretty easy because we have a center line that gives you a direct indication of where that halfway point is between the traveled lanes. A little more difficult on the gravels, and that's what I'll let Kevin talk about, but On the highways that are clearly marked, we still require those farmers or any implement of husbandry to not be on the wrong side of the center line. And if, in fact, there is a crash that occurs, we're going to look at that particular crash and make sure, you know, that field cultivator, that planter, that sprayer, whatever it is on the correct side. In Iowa, we kind of understand that some of those vehicles are much bigger than ever before, and that give and take still goes a long ways. And I know the farmers, you know, are going to make every attempt to get over, but they may not have that opportunity. There's a mailbox. They're not going to run over a mailbox and things of that sort. So we still encourage the give or take, but the law would definitely require that farmer or any implement of husbandry yield half of the roadway.
All right. And so I'm going to hop out in Des Moines County. I'm going to guess you, in the rural areas, you probably have this happen a lot more, don't you, Kevin?
Yeah, absolutely. The farmers are out there, and they're – obviously, it's important that they be able to move their equipment around. What's required by law is that they allow the passage, the safe passage of one vehicle, in the opposite lane. So yeah, they have to allow that 8 to 10 foot on the roadway while they're moving their equipment down our gravel roads, which are unmarked.
All right. Well, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with some final words from our peace officers coming up right after this.
Welcome to the program.
This is the Dan Patrick Show.
If you're going to do a documentary and you're going to have Jerry Krause and Jerry's going to take the slings and arrows and he's not even around to defend himself, I have to ask the director, the producer, you got to ask Jerry Reinsdorf. Jerry, you're the one that broke up the team. Are you trying to tell me that Jerry Krause goes, hey, I don't care what you say, Mr. Reinsdorf, I'm breaking up the Chicago Bulls?
Dan Patrick.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
In 1892, the Pledge of Allegiance was first recited in public schools. The U.S. president was Benjamin Harrison, and the Coca-Cola Company was founded. A lot happened in 1892. It was also the year that Lyda, Burris, and Metz Monuments in Burlington was established. I'm Amy Lau, owner and designer. A memorial isn't about a life past. It's about a life shared, celebrated, and honored for generations to come. Pre-planning your funeral, cemetery lots, and cemetery memorial together is a very personal decision and completes your estate planning. Why let others plan this for you? Experience matters. We are the only full-service memorial company in this area, designing, carving, and quickly delivering to any cemetery, any anywhere. Our office is open. Browse through our website, discuss things over the phone, or we can meet you in the comfort of your own home. Save up to 50% off at Lyda, Burris, and Metz Monuments during our spring sale on a tribute that will stand the test of time.
Great River Health has a COVID-19 call center staffed by registered nurses to answer your questions about coronavirus. It also will help guide your care if you have these symptoms: cough, breathing problems, sore throat, or fever. The number to call is 800-871-3313. Patients should call before going to Great River Medical Center, Fort Madison Community Hospital, Henry County Health Center, or one of their clinics. This will ensure you receive the care you need while limiting your exposure to the virus. Your health counts. Call 800-871-3313.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do?
And good morning. We've got Kevin Glendenning from the Des Moines County Sheriff's Office. We've got Jason Marlowe from the Iowa State Patrol. We've got Colin Letty from our news department across the console, or across the room, actually. And we're
social
distancing. We've even had phone calls coming in. One thing I was going to ask Kevin about, and I know that Mike Johnstone has talked about the fact, is that obviously we got a lot of people who have mental illness issues, and that the fact is we have very little that we can do about some of those issues, and very little to take, very few places to take to deal with them. And it would seem that, and I was talking to Jason just now, you know, it would seem that with a coronavirus pandemic and a lot of people stuck at home and a lot of people sort of in going a little, maybe a little bit crazy, or even but if you're a little bit mentally ill, I would think that this would amplify that. Kevin, is that right?
Yeah, certainly. Just along with everybody else, there hasn't been a great way to find relief or release of any issues that you might be dealing with. I haven't noticed a major increase in, say, our mental health committals or our call outs for crisis intervention when somebody's dealing with a mental crisis. We haven't seen that, and not to say that it's not happening, but the calls for that haven't, we haven't seen a great big increase. What we do to better help the public and better serve them is we're training all of our deputies and law enforcement in general in crisis intervention, and just giving them better tools and resources and the ability to better respond to those that might be dealing with a mental health crisis.
And Jason, is there any indication, either anecdotal or any actual hard figures on anything regarding mental illness or people going a little crazy or dealing with problems now?
I don't know if we have that immediately, but we may see that into the future when we look back on, you know, the first part of 2020 and put some better data together about all of the underlying effects and all the outside things that we didn't notice right off the bat. But I would agree again with Kevin, just the awareness, the increased training that we've provided our troopers. You know, in the old days when the cops showed up, they arrested someone, they hauled them off, and that was the end of the situation. We now know that that's not always the answer, and it may not even be the best answer at the time. So we've had to change some of those tactics and especially a lot of that training.
All right. To Sergeant Kevin Glendenning of the Des Moines County Sheriff's Office. Kevin, thank you so much for joining me today on the Peace Officer Show.
Thanks for having us, Steve.
All right. And Jason Marlowe, always good to have you with us. By the way, I will say that you talked about farm implements. I was going to ask you how far can I actually on How far of a lane do I actually am I supposed to be able to get when I'm riding my bike out on the open highway?
I'm sure you would appreciate at least 3 feet distance.
I would like at least 3 feet, yes. All right. Have a great day. Thanks for listening.